back to another episode of Queerpreneurs Unleashed. I'm your host, Dustin Balcom. My pronouns are he, him. And today we are recording on the Coast Salish territory of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples. And we respect and honor the land on which we live, work, and play. And today, I'm thrilled to have Tommy with me.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is exciting.
Great to be here. I don't know you super well. Like, I know we've chatted in the past. We've done some, obviously, business dealings together.
Yeah.
So tell me a bit about yourself.
Oh, God. that's a very interesting question. Can you narrow it down a little bit for me? No, I kind of left it open intentionally. Okay. I mean, what do you want to know? This is so tricky.
All right. Well, let's talk about your identity. Let's start there.
I'm like, this is crazy. Tell me about yourself. Do you want, like, my Tinder profile?
Okay, let's start with your identity. How do you identify?
Oh, yeah, he, him.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and as gay
and
male?
And I'm a gay male,
okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. And so we're in Vancouver. Has he always lived in Vancouver? Yeah. Like, what's that been like?
Oh, okay. So we're going to go. Yeah. So I was born and raised. There we go. Now I know where we're at.
Okay.
So I was born and raised in Vancouver. I'm like one of the only seven. Okay. We always make that joke. I was like born in, I mean, it's not Vancouver. It was North Burnaby. Don't tell anyone. It's only like 10 minutes that way. And I've lived here basically my entire life. I'm so hardcore West Coast.
Yeah.
I don't think I could live anywhere else in this country, honestly. And what else? I mean, I work in events and talent management and stuff like that. I've been a member of the Vancouver queer community since I was 20, which is two decades. You can do the math. That's live, work, play here.
Well, again, there's a number of things that you and I both do that kind of like are similar, right? Especially on the event side, which we'll dig into a bit more. How old were you when you came out?
Oh, God. How old was I? Okay, so I was 20, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, because I had to, when I was 19, I went to film school right after high school. And then I got a job in Ireland for 2 months. And when I was over there, I was like, wait a minute. Something's different here.
Yeah,
that's where I kind of like, that's where I kind of like figured out for sure that I was gay.
Amazing.
I was born in like into a very Eastern European Catholic family. So, you know, all of those feelings are always kind of like repressed. You don't really know. This was also a very long time ago.
Okay.
So when I was like completely removed from that, I realized that I was a huge gay.
Huge homosexual.
Yeah. I was going to use the other harsher word, but I don't care.
You can use it. We can swear. You can say whatever the fuck you want.
I can use the word fag?
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. That's my favorite word.
It's like when we play bingo in like legal bingo.
Yeah.
We don't use bingo. We use cunt.
Oh, work. Yeah. Love that.
And what was the coming out like in your family?
So I'm going to tell you the story of coming out to my parents. Also know that they have changed a lot since that happened.
And that's great.
You know?
Yeah.
So basically, when I was in my early 20s, I was hanging out with a bunch of my friends, and one of them worked for Cruise Line. Do you remember Cruise Line? They were a male phone,
sex
line, right?
I could see like the little logo.
The little logo, yes, of course. And I had his business card in my wallet, right? And so one night I came upstairs, like I was still living at my parents' house. I was early 20s. And she found that business card in my mother. And she's like, what is this? And I was like, oh, that's just my friend's business card. And she was like, are you gay? And I looked at her and I just remember I was so tired of lying and like omitting the truth, right? And I said yes, and of course she had the moment, and she was like, oh my God, this. And then I told my I called my friends right after, and I just told them that I just came out to my mother, and they were really happy for me. And then 6 months later I came out to my father. I just basically told him, and he was a little trickier. We didn't really speak for 6 months.
Okay.
But you know, this was a very, like, it was 20 years ago. Do you know what I mean? So they really weren't exposed to anything like that. I know that my mother, I got some advice from, like, her friend saying, like, listen, if he's going to come out and be gay, this is, like, one of the safest cities to do it in, right? So I think that eased a lot of their kind of worry.
Right.
But, you know, it takes time.
Well, especially, like you say, they were Catholic, right? And
we're
religion,
being the operative word.
Oh, is it? We're okay.
We're all fallen.
Fair. But I think the important part of all that is, as challenging as it might have been, is that it's obviously gotten better.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest, that was the biggest thing that I noticed as well, is like, I mean, we're going to talk about it a little bit later because it has to do with work and stuff, but I think like when especially my dad, when he kind of realized like the journey that I took with my life and like what my work entailed and that it was going to be safe and it's successful and this and that, he kind of like understood everything about my life after that, you know? And so it like, yeah, now they're like my biggest champions. It's really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. Like my parents will sometimes literally come work doors at my events.
My parents want to do that too. And I say no.
Oh no?
No, I don't care. Absolutely not. No, no, no. My dad, he helps me with my, like all my bookkeeping and my accounting and stuff like that. So that's how he can be involved. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
My dad's retired RCMP. So I'm like, if he wants to work the door, give her.
Oh, absolutely.
So, and they haven't done it in a while, but they've done it a couple times. I'm like, yeah, if you guys really want to come and see it, like, give her. That. Yeah. What is something unique about you that people might not know?
Seriously, I think for me, my reputation has preceded me for a lot of my life. I mean, I know for a fact that like I kind of created that persona when I was younger. But I think the thing that people would be most like surprised, and I was like, I'm actually really nice.
They just think you're not.
Don't laugh over there. I think, like I say, I think for me, a lot of my life when I was like working in nightclubs and stuff was, you know, I was the bitchy gay for the longest time. And I was almost
have to be, because I almost to use you to get it.
You don't have to be, but like it does. This is, I'm going to say something really horrible. It does help.
Yeah.
You know, it really, it kind of helped with the brand back then. Right. So, but I think like as I grew up and I got older, I realized that I didn't want to project that anymore. And that changed a lot, especially over like the last 10 years and stuff like that. I mean, everyone's kind of noticed it. Funny story. There was one night when I worked at a bar, when I was working at a bar called XY in Vancouver. And I remember I was like, I'm going to be nice tonight. I just.
You had to tell yourself.
But it wasn't even like I had to tell myself. I was like, just go out and just like, just don't be that guy tonight.
Right.
And I did. And everybody was like, what's wrong? Are you okay?
Are you sick? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on? We don't like this. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm like, this is like what I am. They're like, yeah, but that's not. And I was like, okay. So that's the like, that was a serious thing. Like I actually do care a lot about like, you know, my friends and all that stuff. And then I can also juggle.
Juggle?
I can juggle.
Okay.
That's like my hidden talent.
I feel like I should have had a setup for that. I mean, we're not real set up for it now. But
I used to be able to do the, you know, when you have the two juggling balls and then an apple and you can bite the apple. I used to be able to do that.
Really? Yeah. So it's like you do one hand is like.
No. You just, you throw one up really high in the air there and then you bite the apple.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go. That's my party trick.
Interesting talent.
I just don't go to parties anymore.
No. That's how I am.
Yeah.
I've been sober over just over a year now.
Yeah.
And it's like, and because we just had Peak Pride this past week and as we're recording this. And it's great because we actually had one of the clubs, or not clubs, or a bar that sometimes will do night events. And they took over the dance party portion of the night and just handed me cash. And I was like, oh, this is great. I can just go and have a bath and go to bed. And I was like so happy.
What time did you get home?
I bumped into Elle outside, I think at 10:30, quarter 11.
Bitch, I love a home by 11.
Right?
I love a home by 11. That's like my new favorite thing is home by 11.
Yeah, we don't, if we're doing a show in Kamloops, usually it's about 12:31, but we're out of there by 11, so it feels good, but it's also nice just to get home, because we're not drinking, we can drive home, and then it's like you can start the next day maybe a little later, but you're still home,
yeah,
even though it's a two-hour drive, it's just, it's so nice.
I love that.
Yeah, I know, 11 o'clock, I'm like, I'm done with the big, like, late-night dance parties.
I need to prepare myself for like a minimum of 2 weeks. Like I like, it's just, it's, I know we're probably will touch on this later as well, but it's just like getting older is like a thing, girl. Yeah. Like it's like a real, real thing. And especially like being conditioned. Like I used to work at a club every single week. Right. And I was conditioned to go out every Friday and Saturday to drink, to be up until 4 o'clock in the morning. That was great. And then good old Miss Rona came in and she like stopped all of that.
Totally.
So when we went back, I was like, whoa, how did I do this all the time? And then I was like, no, I don't really want to.
Exactly.
No.
I feel like it's a lot of people, right? Like, we've changed so much because of that. And even when we do events, like, people are kind of done early, right? Like, they don't always want to stay out super late.
It's all about, like, day parties are the best, brunches are the best. I mean, early shows are the best. But then, like, listen, don't get me wrong. Like, I like to get down sometimes, like a couple times a year. Like I said, like 2 weeks.
Let go. Let go. Let loose.
Let loose,
Let loose, yeah. Okay, let's talk. I want to switch gears now and talk a bit more of the business.
Sure.
I like the match. You know, we got our brand. Probably got the same brand of shirts, even they look
probably
close. So tell me about the business.
Okay, so TFD Presents is a company I started when I was 23. So it's like 17, 18 years ago.
Okay.
And it started out as an event production company, right? So I wanted to throw events. I don't know why. I mean, I know exactly why. I was like, I wanted to start out like the guy. I really liked being in nightclubs. I really liked doing that. There wasn't any parties and stuff catering to what I needed at that time. So I started doing it. And then after like a year or two of just doing like random shows at clubs, I was like, I got to get serious about this. So I started a company. I got two of my friends. I did three parties and the third one was a bust. Okay. So I lost, get ready for this, $500. And I thought it was the end of the world. I remember coming into the bar the next year going, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Like whatever. It was like, imagine losing only $500.
My first loss was $15,000.
Work.
Yeah.
That's fierce. So then it was the earlier, like a couple months later, there was a an event called Rapture. Do you remember it or no?
I never went to one, but I know of it.
So they used to be like circuit parties and stuff like that years and years ago. And it was for sale. And the guy who was selling it contacted me and I said, absolutely not. I don't want to do this. This is the real story. Now I remember. Sorry, I just had a senior moment.
Okay.
And then I was talking to two of my friends, Kyle and Anna. And I told them about it, and they were like, well, you have to buy it. Like, what are you talking about? You have to do this. And I was like, oh, you guys, I don't know. And they're like, no, it's going to be so great. You have to do it. We'll do it with you. We'll help you. It'll be great. So the three of us started the company, and TFD stood for, are you ready for it? This is what everyone wants to know. It stood for two flames and a dame. So two gays and a girl. Stupid.
I just thought it was your initials.
We'll get to that as well. But, like, stupid, right? And but at that time, everybody had like an acronym for a company name, right? Okay. Or like initials for a company name or whatever. Right. So that's how that happened. And then, so dumb. And then eventually like it just kept growing. Kyle moved on. He did some other stuff. And so it became The Flame and the Dame.
Okay.
Stupid. Me and Anna. But it kept being TFD, TFD. And then Anna left to San Francisco. And then I was by myself, right? We always knew it was going to end up me being alone, right?
But from there,
yeah. So from there, we bought Rapture. And then that just kind of made the whole thing explode, right? We were doing yearly events throughout the year. We did our flagship events in the summer. It grew and grew and grew and grew. And then I saw drag happen. I saw drag on television. And I said, this is the next thing.
Yeah.
I remember we brought Nina Flowers in after season one of RuPaul's Drag Race. It was the first time a drag race girl came to Canada. I'm going to flex on that. And it was the most insane thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, there's a video on YouTube of that party. And when she comes out onto the stage, you can hear people, like, shrieking. It was my biggest selling event at the Commodore today. It sold out at, like, 1,300 people. It was nuts.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, and then like, so when I saw that happen, we kind of like skewed away from DJ parties and dance events because those were going down and we started doing drag events.
Yeah.
And then I got involved with some bars and some nightclubs. We did weeklies, monthlies, whatever. And then that kind of took us to, cross country touring, which I did with Tatiana the first time. Do you remember Tatiana?
I had booked Tatiana for Kelowna.
And then, yeah, so then that was the first tour we did. And then it just kind of grew and grew and grew and grew and grew to the point where I was like, whoa, what is happening? And then, then we got Katya and we do It's Just Drag. And I almost I did Trixie's show and we did Bianca's stuff and stuff like that. So, yeah, we had all the girls. And then it was all gone. After that, I mean, I'm sure you felt it too. After 2 years of nothing, I was like, what the hell am I going to do with my life? Like, I literally have no, I don't know how to write a resume. What's my resume going to say? Parties.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the stuff that
parties
I made.
And drag performers.
Yeah, the stuff, like, my own stuff. So I always had a plan B. My plan B was to be a travel agent because my family owns a travel agency. Okay. So that's always a plan B.
Yeah. But it's always good to have that backup.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden, all my friends disappeared. Like, Kendall vanished for a couple months. And, you know, I heard that Cynthia was gone for a couple months. I was like, what the hell? And then they were all filming Drag Race.
Right.
So when they all came back, I just kind of thought to myself, I was like, I wonder if I could do this. I wonder if I could, like, talk to them and throw my hat into the ring and help them, like, manage their careers, right? Because I think especially with Kendall, years ago, you always talk about that, like, oh, if you ever become famous, I'm going to help you. And you So when I realized that she was gone, I'm playing so coy, bitch. I fucking knew she was on. Do you know what I mean? Like, we all knew the second. Yeah. But I always let them, like, I respect that process of like, you know, if they want to keep it quiet. And then when they came back, I had a call from Cynthia was the first one. That little liar. Cynthia told she wasn't doing drag anymore. And then all of a sudden she goes on a show. I was just a little liar.
Yeah.
And she called me and she was like, I want to talk to you about like advice on managers. And I was like, well, listen, I want to throw my hat into the ring. You're going to talk to me and like five other people, hear what we have to say. And then Kendall was this, like Kendall, I talked to second, but Kendall was the first one to like sign. So, so then I got Cynthia and Kendall and Stephanie. And I just remember feeling like my life, this is going to sound so dramatic, but it felt like I had a purpose again.
Right.
What am I going to do now? Like, it's not just me. Now these three people have entrusted me to like, right. you know, build their career off of this. And then, and I was like, well, I have the network. Yeah. It's there. I've been working at it for 17 years. So that's how that started. And now we do both because right. I apparently have all the time in the world.
Well, that's right. It's like we literally just finished Peak Pride, go to Kelowna, unload, and come down here to do this. So I feel
you. yeah. So now it's like officially it's TFD Presents. It was rebranded because everybody thought it stood for Tommy fucking D. It never stood for that ever.
Because I just figured the F was your middle initial.
No. My middle initial starts with a J.
Okay.
My middle initial is Joseph. My middle name is Joseph. Yeah.
Look at the kid to think about that.
No, because I have the Croatian version of it in my head, so I'd have to translate it.
Okay, fair.
So I always thought it was just like, for me, I was just like, I would never name my company after myself because I felt like this is a big thing and it may be kind of hard to believe. I actually never wanted to be at the forefront or a star or anything like that. I like being where I'm at. I like being in the back. I like running the show. I like managing people. That's like my favorite thing. So I would never name my company after myself, like ever. And if I want to sell it, there also, it is, right? Yeah. So then now we are an official management company and touring company and event production company.
So Peter, who was the episode before, is a booking agent. I know you do booking because I've dealt with you. So tell people what's the difference between managing and the booking side.
So with a booking agent, it can get a little gray.
Sure.
For me, it's completely gray. I just don't even know. I just do it all, right? But for somebody like Peter, Peter mainly deals with like an email will potentially come in or he'll reach out to a client. They will write the deal, get the contract signed off. He'll pass it off to people and that's it. That's like you book the day and that's kind of it. Yeah. Managing someone is a little different. I do all of that as well. I also have a booking agent who does that to helps me out because now we have so many. And I help manage these girls like lives, for lack of a better term. Do you know what I mean? So we take care of like everything. Like we'll have conversations with them as soon as they sign, be like, where do you want your career to go? What does it look like? Right. You know, how can we help you? Do you want to do brands? Do you want to do live? Do you want to do singing? What do you want to do? Right. And then we just kind of like build on top of that. I mean, also, I think my biggest part of my job is like managing expectations. That is a very, 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 very big part of this job that nobody really kind of likes to talk about because sometimes when people hear that, they will hear you're not good enough, which is never the case. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
It's just like, not everyone is going to get everything that they want. You know what I mean? So like, let's get you to points that you're happy. And then like, we can try more, right?
Yeah. Well, it's good to have big goals, but you also need to be realistic on what the process is going to look like.
Yeah. Right? Like, listen, don't get me wrong. I would love to fill 3,500 person theaters. I would love that. My bank account would love that. I'd be able to afford 9 iPhones. Do you know what I mean? But like, we have to manage those expectations, right? Like we are as popular as drag is and as popular as this whole industry is. We are still a niche of a niche. Like we're a niche market in a niche community. Like straight people don't really know about this. Like my family, like other than my immediate family, they don't know what I do for a living. Right. Or they, like if I were to say, hey, I'm working with like Kendall Jenner on this Beyonce show, or hey, you know, we're doing a Trixie and Katya thing. They'd be like, what? So as much as we think it's super, super popular and super, maybe Trixie and Katya is a bad example, but I mean, it's still kind of niche.
But I think it's like any industry out there. It's like, you know, my parents love hockey and yes, it's popular, but I don't fucking know anything about hockey. Like I know that like some
but
basics.
But you're the niche. Do you know what I mean? Like hockey is not a niche. Hockey is global.
But I mean, not everyone understands it, whether you're gay, straight or otherwise, right? But there's lots of queers that like it.
Yeah.
Like I know like gay men that go and play, but
yeah, I don't know why.
It's probably the man on man concept. Yeah. But it's like, I mean, I think every industry does have a bit of that.
Mm-hmm. But too, ours right? is, but ours is still so it is. Like
it's well, still it's newer so it's super new. To certain things.
It's still really small. Like, I mean, just in this yeah. country. I mean, Peter and I talk about this all the time. There's like literally 6 bars in this country. Do you know what I mean? So you have to like create the opportunities, and that I think is the management side of it is
right.
taking those expectations and creating an opportunity for everyone to succeed, right? So we put on our own shows. We will mount shows. We will do our own tours. We'll create something. We'll sell it to people as opposed to just kind of like just waiting for the emails to roll in. Because that's not how you're going to succeed.
No, God, no, you're not.
You know, you can't. I don't think anyone, no matter how popular you are, is entitled to that. I think you have to work for everything, right?
Yeah, agreed. What would you say has been the biggest challenge getting to this point outside of the pandemic?
Oh, my God.
Gotta pull that one out. That's an easy.
Yeah. getting to this point in my career was the biggest challenge?
Yeah, like in your entrepreneurial journey.
I mean, I think it's, for me, I just didn't know what I was doing. I still kind of don't know what I'm doing.
I feel like
don't tell anyone,
too.
Right? But like, it's, like I say, it's, it, you know, I started doing events by myself. I didn't really have any mentors. I didn't really have any investors. It was all myself, right? And yeah. we got it to a point. And then now with managing the girls, it was like, especially in Canada, Canada's Drag Race is brand new compared yeah. to like the American season. So luckily I had experience on the promoter side
right.
of booking the girls. So I just transferred that over. But like, we're literally building the economy of drag here. Right. So I don't know. That's the hardest part. Is like we just yeah. kind of don't really know what we're doing.
Right.
But we know what we're doing. I swear.
Well, a bit of fake it till you make it, right? I feel yeah, like and that I some days, and that's how we got to do it.
Yeah, I think for me specifically is like, listen, I'm saying that as a joke, obviously. Like, I know what I'm doing. Yeah. But you in this peanut gallery, they're just chuckling. I love it. but like, yeah, there are some days where it's just like, you know, this is all kind of unknown.
Totally. Well, there's days it's like, what the fuck am I doing?
Right. Yeah.
There are definitely days.
Yeah.
I feel like every entrepreneur has that. And yeah. that's part of like sharing these journeys on this because we don't all have the opportunity to talk to each other about it, right?
Yeah, we're all too busy.
Yeah.
Or crying.
Yeah.
Or, how hard it
or
is.
Trying to sleep.
Or, yes, start that part.
So, in the journeys that you had, have you experienced any discrimination or biases because of being gay?
Oh, I'm going to tell you something. I think I'm really fortunate. I don't think I have ever personally felt that. Listen, I'm a 6-foot white male. I can, and if I like have to stop flailing my wrists or, you know, I can turn it off if I right. need to. But like every single venue that I've worked with, every single city that I've worked in, I personally have never felt any discrimination like that. I think I've been very lucky.
Yeah.
People have welcomed me. I have a lot of allies in the straight community, especially in entertainment, because I was one of the first people doing it. So I almost feel like they're kind of protective of me, which is great. I know that is not the case for a lot of people.
Yeah.
I live in Vancouver. It's a lot more, it's a lot easier than, I mean, say the interior, you know what I mean? Or anywhere in Alberta
yeah.
or, you know, Manitoba. So yeah, I've been very fortunate.
Yeah. Have you ever had any protesters at your events?
No.
No. Because you're all basically 19 plus, aren't they?
Yeah, they're mostly, we've done a couple of brunches. Did we have any protesters? I feel like there was one event recently where they said they were going to come and like they didn't show up.
Yeah, we've had a lot of those. We have had maybe a handful. There's probably 3 that really stand out where we actually have had protesters.
Mm-hmm.
Like the one we did in Oliver, there was like 13, which was our biggest show up for one of our events. Ooh, right?
Lucky 13.
Yeah. And one had to get pulled out by the RCMP, but it wasn't like anything overly dramatic. He was just,
no.
So many of them are so misguided that they think it's something that it's not, and that's the biggest issue, I think.
Yeah, I think for them, oh God, they're just not educated.
It's true.
I think 100%. Like here's the thing. Bottom line, and yeah. I don't want to say it this way, but like, I was going to be bitchy about it, but no, I'll be a little bit nicer.
Bitchy, I don't care.
They're just stupid. Yeah. They just don't know what they're protesting. They're hearing a lot of like dog whistle words or whatever, and they just go for that. But like at the end of the day, like what are you really doing here, bro? Like what are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know?
We last year at Kelowna Pride, the March celebration, we had to actually break it out to 2 venues.
Mm.
So I had one of my contractors stream what was happening in the theater to the art gallery. Mm. And this guy, I don't know him well, but he was a bouncer at one of the nightclubs that we used to use.
Yeah.
It's now a a tower, because as that happens in the cities. But he was in there, and he was hanging out with the protesters. And I don't remember the exact wording he used, but he was like, well, what's going on here? I'm like, well, you can see what's going on. It's on the fucking screen.
Yeah.
And then I can't remember how exactly he went about it. But to your point, it was stupid.
Stupid.
Right? Like, he's asked questions about the kids. And I'm like, but you're watching what's fucking going on. Yeah. Do you see anything wrong with it? He's like, well, no. I'm like, you also are thinking back to when we did shows at Sapphire when it was, you know, Sparkler, and they were shit-faced, and it was a 19-plus crowd.
Yeah.
And that's a very different thing. Like, the story times and whatnot, they're reading fucking stories.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah, it's just... Yeah.
They're glorified clowns, bro.
Literally.
Like, not me going so bro-y, but yeah. It's like, that's the only way you can talk to them, apparently. That's all it is.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I have been very fortunate. I said, like, I need knock on wood, not whatever, but, yeah, I've been pretty fortunate. Yeah.
How do you feel the queer community has been in terms of supportive of your business?
I don't mean to laugh. I really don't. Okay, so I feel like it has changed. I feel like I have gotten every like level of support that you could get. When I started, people were really excited. Then there was like other promoters, and we started having the promoter wars of Vancouver, and then like people hated me, and then you know, and then that changed, and then they liked it again, and then they hated the fact that I was like changing from like gay male events to like adding drag, like what is this? And then that went down, and so I've been like all over the place, but I think right now I feel the most, I would say the most supported and the most like appreciated I've ever felt. Yeah. I feel like, especially the past couple of years, I literally feel like right place, right time, right people. Like the most ever.
Right.
But don't get me wrong. Like there are times where I was like, oh my God, you don't hate me. That's so mean.
Well, they always hate people that are being successful too, right? Like,
oh no, they straight up hated me. Oh. Yeah. I mean, you should have asked Peter some of the stuff that they used to say about me, but yeah, no. So, but I think that comes with the territory, right? Like not everyone's going to like you. I read somewhere, what is it? Why are you worried about everyone liking you? You don't even like everybody.
True.
And when I thought of that, and I was like, why am I worried?
Yeah.
They're also going to come anyway.
Well, and on that, so coming, how do you approach marketing and reaching out to the queer community when you're doing events and promotion?
Right. So marketing is mainly social media right now. Yeah. I mean, were you around for the poster and postcard age or no? Or did you miss that?
You missed the posters.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I mean, we still do some posters. Some venues ask for them, but
we used to like have to poster on the polls.
Okay.
But there were only certain polls of the city that allowed you to do that. Right. And you would have to like... It was literally called the poster wars. Yeah. And like they would go up and people would rip them down. It was so stupid. And then we would have like club flyers and stuff. That is all gone. Thank God. It is such a waste of money.
It was so expensive.
And not to mention like the paper. So I was around when Facebook started. So I got the first start of Facebook. Oh my God, promoting on Facebook used to be so fierce. It was so easy. And then they just started making it harder and harder and harder. And then Twitter came about and Instagram and all this stuff. So marketing is mainly done on social media. And now we have to get creative. Like everyone is doing the same thing. So how do you stand out? I don't know. I literally, like, I could be promoting, I could have two shows and I could promote them the exact same way. One will be a huge success and the other one, people will be like, I didn't even hear about it.
It's weird.
It's so annoying.
And that's, I can't even advertise anymore. I've been blocked on Facebook because of an affiliation with a nonprofit who was affiliated with a marketing group that got blocked. And I was still linked when all the sucks. Yeah. So the agency I work with does most of it now. I have access to the back end, but it's such a rigmarole to do that.
I also just really don't like social media anymore.
Oh, it's fucked.
Like
it's absolutely fucked.
I hate that I spend so much time on it.
Yeah.
And yet I can't get rid of it because I need it.
Totally.
For work.
Yeah, I agree.
If I didn't need it for work, I would not have any social media.
Oh, fuck. I'd delete off my phone.
My God. I did a 30-day social media like cleanse once, and it was the greatest month of my life.
Do you feel that being a queer entrepreneur is harder or easier than being a straight entrepreneur? Or is it the same?
I mean, I've never been a straight entrepreneur.
Well, from your perspective.
I think that, okay, so just based on sheer volume of like each, like the community, I think you have a bigger audience.
Yeah.
in the straight world than you do in the queer world.
That's true.
For sure. So right there, just a numbers game. I also feel like brands and sponsorship will always lean towards the bigger, the one that they're going to get more eyeballs on. So like that was always kind of a struggle, was getting sponsorship and support for queer events and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, in terms of that, absolutely. Sure. But like, I'm sure we both have the exact same amount of stresses, except theirs are maybe 10 times the amount.
Right.
Instead of a 300 person event, they're doing a 3,000 and they're losing 10 times the amount of money or whatever it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
scales.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot more open and available to them than there is to us. But I think like our struggles are pretty much the same. I think we're both crazy to do it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But would you ever go back to a 9-to-5?
No. I don't know if, listen, if I had to, I would.
Well, of course.
Obviously.
I think we all would if we had to.
I don't think I could ever work for anybody again. And I don't think I could do a 9-to-5.
No. Do you ever have those days? And I'm asking this more for me because I have these days where it's like, why the fuck am I doing this? And then I'll get to the point where I'll like look at job boards and then I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? I will hate my life. And then I'm just, it's like, a couple hour window where I'm just, it's usually around finances. It's like,
it's always, no. It's always around money.
Yeah.
It is always around money. It would be so much easier for us to just be like, I would love to get a salary and know what it is. But then like, how boring is your life going
to
be?
I used to work in banking.
That's horrible. I can't believe I just said that. We don't have to delete that, but like, I don't mean
it
if you do
that.
It would
be boring to us. Other people like it, and that's great because, you know, you need people like that, that makes them happy.
Absolutely. I love my accountant.
I
love my accountant.
Yes.
Best person in the world.
Exactly. But it's not for us.
No, I think for me, it's less looking at job postings and like, it just happened this morning. Like I literally woke up and I was like, God, why am I doing this stuff? It's just like, it's so stressful. Again, it's always around money and stuff, right? But then like literally got a phone call of an incredible opportunity that we just signed and got done, and I was like, I love my job. This is the best thing in the world. It'll all pass.
It's
everything,
quite the roller coasters.
And here's the thing, at the end of the day, money is money. You'll get it and you'll lose it, and you can always make more.
Yeah,
you know, that's like, that's the only way that I can like explain this. Like, I mean, you dropped 15k on one of your events that you lost. Absolutely. It's a risk, you know.
It's a
huge risk, and if it's meant to pay off in the end, it's the long game.
For you in your business, what does success look like?
I'm literally there, kind of right now.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's the simplest thing, but to me, it's like, I haven't looked at my bank account in a long time. And again, it's like, it's mainly about finances, right? So for me, success is like, has always been ingrained in my head as like, can I pay my rent? Can I pay my bills? Can I eat? And can I have a little bit of money for fun? Right. That's it. And I don't need a lot. I don't need fancy labels. I don't need a big house. Did you just look at my label when I said that? I don't need like a fancy car, none of that stuff. Do you know what I mean? I just need to be able to like live. And I'm been living fine for a while and like get to do cool stuff with my friends.
Right.
That's literally it, you know?
It's amazing.
Yeah, I love it.
It is fun. And people always comment too, like, oh, he's traveling. I'm like, yeah, and it's work. Everything's work.
Yeah, so like, when I travel, I'm going to tell you right now, when I travel it for work, it is, I would say 95% like, there's not really a lot of fun to it, right? We're in and out. We're in for 2 days. If we want to extend it, then it's on our dime and we get to experience stuff more. But like, I'm all over the place, but ask me how much of the world I've actually seen.
Yeah.
It's a big difference, right?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I did a conference in Greece and I was there for, 4 days? I flew all that way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you do sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? But then sometimes you get to extend it but the trips are usually fun. Yes, there's work, but it's fun work.
And it's all extent, right? And it's all about networking.
Totally.
I really, truly believe that part of my success has been going to all of these places. Yeah. Like, and I don't love traveling. Like, I don't love...
Oh, don't you? Oh, I love going... Like, getting ready for the airport and going, and oh, I love...
That's the worst. I have an irrational fear of flying, too, which is, not great for my job since I'm on a plane every other weekend.
Yeah.
Me and the girls are like, we've been working through it. They're getting me through it.
Yeah.
But it's like, I hate the night before I leave. I always feel like, why am I going? My whole world is going to crumble. Nothing will happen.
No.
And being on a plane, I just feel like a travel day is just a waste of a day. Like, to me, it's just a waste of a day.
I love sitting in a plane. I mean, I also haven't sat in economy in a while, so I've got my upgrades. Next, this time next week.
But hold on. Hold on. I have also been playing the upgrade game, yeah. which makes it a lot
easier. Doesn't it, though?
Easier.
It's so much more enjoyable.
And not only that, but, like, you got to be brand loyal. Oh, like, if you're traveling like that much, you got to be brand loyal.
Well, and you and I have had that discussion before with, like, talent and all that. Because, like, that's why I use my points to fly the talent. Because you can't book them on yourself because you don't get your status.
Thank you! Nobody understands that. And I'm like, you guys, you got to, you have to use your point. Like, especially if you're a promoter or anything like that.
Yeah.
Do that. Pay for everything on your credit card. Get those points and use the points to pay for their flights.
Yeah.
That's the best way to do it.
Exactly. Because the only other way you're going to use your points for yourself to get status is using for gift cards, which is not an effective way to use it. Because I booked, because I had Super Elite last year. So I had some 50% off business.
Are we an Aeroplan podcast right now? I love that.
Right. It's relevant to business.
Absolutely.
Right. Loyalty.
Yeah.
What is, do you have like a legacy or long-term thought with what you want to do with your business?
Yeah, I kind of feel like eventually, I say this now as I've got like a million shows happening, but like eventually I think for myself, I'm going to filter out of the event game. Mm-hmm. If I can find someone to take that over, that would be ideal.
Yeah. Is that more a hiring someone or is that like selling it?
Hiring someone, okay. I think. I don't know if I ever want to sell it.
Yeah.
I say that. Not knowing what the future is going to hold.
Totally.
But also, like, it's really hard. I think I got this from my mother, actually. There's a tangent here that I have to go on. So my mother has a travel agency, and she named it after herself. And she has been approached to sell it a couple times.
Yeah.
But then she brought up a good point. She's like, what is this travel agency without me? So, like, really, if I were to sell my company and my brand, what is that without me, right? Like, what does that look like? And then, am I going to be able to let it go? That's a big thing for me. That's like...
I think that's most entrepreneurs.
That's really hard for me to like, if I were to let it go and I see that punk ass who bought it run it into the ground, it's going to wreck me.
Totally.
Right?
It was your baby.
But if they give me enough money, I'll just be like, I don't care. So...
And I think my brain just went somewhere when you were talking about that is... You look at some of these tech companies where people do get the big checks, but a lot of them, they go into that with the thought of, I'm going to build this as big as I can so I can get the check and move on to something else.
Yeah, that's a different...
Totally. That's different. But that's where we built our babies from the ground up,
yeah.
And they are our babies. Yeah. So it's not easy to have a staff person come in and take over because you're also like, you built this, and right? And see changes and...
They can't do it like I can do it. That is my biggest problem right now is like, I'm learning how to delegate and I've been like successful, but I've also had some failures.
We all have.
With delegating. But, but I think for me, like the future of my company, like I would love to kind of always be involved in the managerial side of it, with the artists and stuff. I also really like, I think I'll just always be like the main point person and then I'll pass them off to like anyone who's working with me, right? Yeah, I just love it. That's my favorite thing. I say that. Good. I love saying that. I love it. This morning I woke up, I was like, I hate this.
But there's nothing wrong with having those mornings because then something happens, like you say, and it's like it gets you back to where you should be, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, okay, I'm going to move us into the lightning round. Let's this or that. You don't need to think about it. No explanation.
This is so stressful.
Why?
I don't know. I'm just, okay,
just go. Whatever comes to you. Hit me. It's not hard. Dinner at a fancy restaurant or home-cooked meal?
Home-cooked meal.
Multiple short vacations or one long one in a year?
In a year?
Yep.
Multiple short.
Mexico or Hawaii?
Mexico.
Would you rather stay home, watch a movie, or go out and enjoy live music?
Oh, Sophie's choice.
Just...
But it's like, what movie and what band?
No, if it's just, you have that's your choice. You don't know the other details.
Stay
just,
home.
Okay. That's me lately. It's like, if I'm not working an event, it's like, yeah. Okay, Spain or Portugal?
I don't know. I've never been to either.
Okay, we'll just pick. Where would you rather go?
Spain.
Okay. How about Victoria or Kelowna? Usually it's Vancouver, Victoria.
I've never been to Kelowna. Can you believe that? I have lived here my entire life. Like, I remember we were talking. For some reason, I feel like it's a 9-hour drive, but it's so close.
We just did it yesterday.
I know. I'm going to say, I'll just say Kelowna.
Okay. Early riser or like to sleep in?
Oh, I like to sleep in, but I can't. Yeah. I don't sleep in.
Like sleep in. Okay. And this is, if you have either option, would you rather drive or fly?
Well, this is the worst.
Oh my god.
I would rather drive.
Yeah.
But I have to drive.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of that way.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, Ella does drive usually because if I have a headache or I'm dizzy.
Absolutely not. Nope.
Well, if I can't drive, it's...
Nope.
Audiobooks or real books?
Audio.
I mean, I'm pretty sure I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask it anyway. Debit or credit card for business spending?
Oh, credit. Duh.
How about a bank or credit union for a business?
I like a bank.
Yeah. Dog or cat?
Dog.
Spotify or Apple Music?
Apple Music. Oh, I almost said something mean about Spotify.
No, it's funny. No. I think you're the first one to say Apple Music. I'm also Apple Music, but everyone...
Well, what do we have in common? I'll tell you off air.
Yes or no to popcorn?
Like anytime?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's good. Most people have had on it. That
Love way. Popcorn.
Pineapple on pizza.
No.
Oh, agreed. You're like the first person to say no.
Well, who are you talking to? Who are these people?
The wrong queers. These ones are just short answers. Favorite type of music?
Okay. I'll give you 90s.
Okay. That works. Favorite time of the year?
Summer.
Favorite place to
That's
travel?
A lie. Oh, wait. No, is it? Oh, I hate this. I love summer for what it does, but I love winter because everyone can stay at home and no one can be mad at me about it. Jesus. I have reasons for everyone. You can't ask me. Okay, Lord. Keep going.
Favorite place to travel for vacation?
Oh, I love, like, Asia is kind of like my vibe right now.
Okay.
I'll give you a continent. That's a continent, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what place have you all been to over there?
I'm going to Tokyo in a couple weeks with my mother. Nice. I love Japan.
Okay.
But then, like, I also love a beach.
That's what we're doing in Thailand. There's definitely a lot of beaches. Mm. I need to recharge my batteries. Mm-hmm. It's been like 3 months of E. Mm-hmm. So it's time. Yeah. But, okay. I just have some final questions to kind of tie things up. How do you handle work-life balance and self-care as an entrepreneur?
That's a funny question. Like, I think that's the funniest question you've asked me all day. What's work-life balance? What is that? That's hard. I don't know how to balance it. I think a few months ago I realized, I kind of woke up and I was like, I have no life. I think one of the biggest things was my best friend moved away from Vancouver to Montreal this past year. And he was like a real kind of touchstone for me on like a social life. Like we would do everything together. And then after he left or he moved, I kind of realized I was like, oh my God, all I really do is work.
Yeah.
You know, and if I don't have someone to do stuff with, it becomes a little bit more difficult, right?
Sure.
So I'm learning, but I don't manage it very well, like at all.
I mean, most of my social time is also with people I work with, which is good because I love the people that I spend time with. And so it's, I always have some family that are like, well, you know, don't you want to like be in a relationship? I'm like, I have good friends that it's like almost a relationship. You're not like intimate, but you still have.
Okay. We have a whole other thing to talk about with that. Like I fully agree with you. You can get everything you want from people around you without being in a relationship.
Yeah.
Like, that pressure of being in a relationship is insane to me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
How about tips or strategies for building resilience in your business?
Building resilience.
Well, because times are tough, right? And, you know, we talked about, you have those points of like, what the fuck am I doing?
Yeah.
So it's like how...
Tips and tricks?
Yeah, like how do you overcome those situations?
I think you have to look at the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I think for me, it was really, instead of just looking at what's happening like right in front, you got to look at the bigger picture of the overall, right? And we all get into this with long-term goals, hopefully. So that's what, I think that's all you got to do, just bigger picture. Love It'll it. Come around. It'll all come back.
I find sometimes you just need to like, I find I need to reset myself. Like pull it out, whether it's meditating, have a nap, sometimes just like reset. If I'm like in a bit of a spiral on something, I just need to completely distract myself in some way.
Play a video game.
I'm not a big video game one.
Oh, I...
Okay, that's yours.
But then I lose 9 hours. Yeah. Like, what just happened here?
A very productive day.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's what you need.
Yeah.
Right? You just need to disconnect that way. Do you have any other entrepreneurs out there that inspire you?
My mother.
Queer. Yeah?
My mother is like literally the woman.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She started her travel agency 33 years ago. I think that's literally exactly where it came from. Do you know what I mean? Like I saw them do it. I saw my parents do it. And I just like, that would be my number one.
Love it. Do you have any favorite books or podcasts that have inspired you along the way?
So they haven't inspired me for work, but I have favorite podcasts.
That's okay.
My favorite podcast of all time is called All Right, Mary. And it is I found it because it's a Drag Race review podcast. It is literally the best one. I listened to all of them. Most of them I've dropped off, but that is the best one. And then if you subscribe to their Patreon for only $10 a month, I swear this isn't sponsored, you get like all of their other stuff, and they review like movies and TV shows, and they just have like, it's these two gay guys from New York or from the States, and they just have incredible conversations with each other. And it's like, they're my generation. I'm like a stalker fan of them. I love them.
You're
so
one
much.
Of those.
I am so crazy. And they have like conversations with references that like I totally get. You know what I mean? Okay. That's like my favorite podcast. And then of course, Semi-Qualified Queens with Cynthia Gaze and Juice Box.
You'd get shunned if you didn't
absolutely
mention that, right? And so my last question I have for you is, what advice would you give other queer individuals who are considering the entrepreneurial journey?
Oh, I could have a joke and be like, don't.
Everybody
has said that, right?
No one has.
Really?
But I was thinking the exact same thing. I'm like, don't.
Yeah, it's a really hard journey. Mm-hmm. But when you get to a point, it like becomes so good.
It does.
So my advice would honestly be just like stick to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Love it.
Or don't.
Yeah.
If you hate it, get out.
Because it's not for everyone.
No, and that's another thing is like, and also like, if you hate it and you're still in it, people will know. Like, this is going to sound horrible, but like the fish rots from the head, right?
Totally.
So if the person in charge is not happy, people are going to know.
True.
So there you go. And don't be a dick like I was in my 20s.
The angry bitch.
Yeah.
That was amazing. Thanks. Thanks for being on the podcast.
Love it.
It was great to get to know you a bit better.
Yeah.
Being that obviously we worked together, but hadn't really spent much time. So I appreciate it. Awesome. And thanks for tuning in to another episode of Queerpreneurs Unleashed. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Awesome. Thank you.